So the last 3 weeks, we've heard Pastor Joe speak on the first topic, which was fasting, and then Elder Mike spoke on being a giver. Last week, Pastor Joe also spoke on praying. So I actually get the privilege of closing out our series today. The series is called Growing Deeper Through Disciplines, and I will be speaking on the topic of reflecting. So some of you may not know, but I teach college and pre-college writing classes at a local college. And so when Pastor Joe asked me to speak on this topic, my initial thoughts from a very academic standpoint were, yeah, of course, reflective writing is so great for the mind. There's been tons of research done on why it's so good to make students write reflectively. But don't worry, I'm not going to bore you on like the academic reasons of why you should reflect while you write. Instead, today, I hope that you could keep an open mind. Some of you probably don't like to write, so for those of you, please keep a very open mind. And open up your heart also to see what God has to say about the topic of reflecting as we look into the Word. So I'd like us to maybe just bow our heads and let's cover our time in prayer as we look into the Word. God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you so much that you reveal yourself to us through the Word. And so we ask that you would cover this time as we look into your Word and see what you have to say about the topic of reflecting. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. So I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I used to pretend to drive a car. Has anyone done that before? You would sit at the back seat of your parents' car and you would turn this pretend steering wheel wildly to the right and wildly to the left, right? So when I went to driving school as an adolescent, I discovered that just because the car is going straight doesn't mean you could just take your hands off the wheel, right? Because what happens when you take your hand off the wheel? The car tends to veer a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, right? So we need to keep our hands on the wheel just to keep it going straight, just to keep it going on course, stay on the road, right? We are like cars. We need something to help keep us on the straight and narrow path. But what is that something that we need? And we'll see in 2 Timothy 3:16 that it's God. God is the one that kind of keeps us going on this straight path. And we see in this verse that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So it's through the Word of God that God speaks to us and provides that direction. And in this verse, it tells us how does God speak to us. He teaches us, he gives us stern disapproval, he corrects us, and he also trains us as we read the scriptures. And I would say probably all of you have experienced some of this as you've read the Word in different points and times in your life, right? So while we think about this verse, think about reflecting, let's look at what the dictionary actually says it means to reflect. And if you look in the dictionary, there's actually several definitions. I just picked the three probably most common ones that you're familiar with. It could mean to show the image of something, much like a mirror. It could also mean to think carefully about something. And it also, a close synonym to reflect is the verb to meditate. Right? And meditate has this overall idea of being in deep thought or introspection on a topic. In Joshua 1:8, we actually see the word meditate used in that verse. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. There it is. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So you see in this verse, this idea of meditating on the Word day and night. So, in preparation for today's message, I actually created a very short, I think it was a 5-question survey, and I had about a quarter of the congregation complete it. That was a miracle in and of itself, that 25% of the congregation, that you were willing to complete it. So, don't worry if you were one of the 25%. Your names are not going to be part of this presentation, but I did want to show you some of the data that I gathered as it relates to the topic of reflecting. So the first question I asked everyone was, do you wish there was more time in a day? And you could see that 60, almost 2% said, yes, I wish there was more time in a day. And to be fair, I tried to pick different people from all different walks of life, different ages and different genders, so that I could kind of get a good idea of what people were thinking about the questions. So everybody, or not everybody, majority of the people who took the survey felt like, my day seems crunched. I always feel like I could have a little bit more time in a day. So I followed that question up with this question, the next question. If you could change the number of hours in a day, what would you change it to? Okay, now I've actually often, I do think about this question on and off, on and off. And so you can see the 38.3% that said on the previous slide that they think 24 hours is great, they never feel like they're running out of time. They're the same 38.3% that said 24 in the blue is the perfect number of hours in a day. However, if you look at the red, the yellow, and the green, the red represents 36.2%. That many people said, I wish the day was 30 hours long. Just a few more hours, I could get so much more done if I just had a few extra hours in my day. The next largest percentage was 17%. This was pretty alarming. 17% said, I wish every day had 40 hours in it, okay, which is considerable amount of time, right? And then a small 8.5% said, I like 35. We'll go somewhere in the middle, all right? So from this survey, you could see that pretty much most of us, if not all of us, feel like there's just not enough time in a day. So if you think back to Joshua 1:8, where it says, meditate or reflect on the word day and night, you're wondering, like, how am I going to fit this into my schedule? How am I going to do this? Well, when I was in my 20s, I actually thought 24 was the perfect number of hours in a day. I was so productive with my time. I worked full-time at a pharmaceutical company. I served in multiple ministries at my church, and I went and spent crazy hours of the night with college students at a local campus. I was still very functional, even though I lacked much sleep, but I felt like God really used my time. Now, one thing I didn't add was that in my 20s, I prayed every morning that God would multiply my minutes. And I really felt like God made my day seem a little bit longer. He really did multiply my minutes. I haven't prayed that prayer in a while, and maybe I should. But that answered prayer helped me be quite productive with my day. Also, in addition to all of these things that I was doing, I also made sure I spent time with the Lord. And I made sure I read and prayed. And I used to journal a lot in my 20s, right? I did it often. Well, so something happened that changed all of this, okay? So I got married, and I got married, and I had Caden. Caden, that's Caden when he was a baby, right? So what happens when you get married? I don't know if it's the married part so much as it is the Caden part, okay? But what happens is your time never seems like it's enough. You're always running out of time. You feel very unproductive. So I used to be, in my 20s, people called me the master of multitasking. I was able to do, like, just a lot, and I felt, you know, productive, right? Then when I had Caden, I struggled to complete one task well, right? All of a sudden, my days were running into each other. Like, at the end of a day, I wondered, what did I do with my day, right? So, right. Right? We are struggling with time, right? We're definitely struggling with time. So Caden, when he was little, you could look at this picture. When he was little, everybody used to say he was a mini Anton. I don't know if you agree. The picture's up there. You could decide for yourself if you think he looks like Anton there, okay? But I always had a hard time seeing the resemblance. I wasn't sure how he looked like Anton. I mean, I didn't think he looked like me either. So, you know, I guess I just wasn't sure. But as Caden has gotten older, he definitely is a mini Anton. So all of you that said it at the beginning, you were right. On the next slide, you're going to see all the things that Anton likes to do and all the things that Caden likes to do. And you'll see that he is a pretty much splitting image of his father. Okay. The same three sports that Anton liked and played when he was younger and still plays now, Caden likes to play. He plays on teams all year round, right? Caden started learning how to play chess in kindergarten and really loved it. I hate chess, okay? So definitely, I found out Anton used to play in high school on a team, right? Caden loves anything fried, and I think none of you are surprised that my husband, Anton, likes anything fried, okay? So if you follow him on Facebook, you'll see the places that he eats at, okay? Then Caden doesn't really care for vegetables. I really have to force him to eat it. Similarly, you know my husband. My husband's a pastor here if you don't know who I am, okay? Anton doesn't really care for vegetables either, right? So you can say without any doubt that Caden is Anton's son, right? I think all of us can agree here. I definitely can. And sometimes Caden will even say something that sounds just like how Anton would say it. And I had to do like a double take, right? Caden has spent his whole entire life studying Anton. He spent his whole entire life learning about what he likes to eat and what he doesn't like to eat. He spent his whole entire life learning about how Anton would handle a situation, his mannerisms, his behavior. So I guess to me, when I think back, and if I were to really think about this, it's not that surprising that he is a splitting image of Anton, right? In John 1, it says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So this verse, and I underline the parts that I want to emphasize today, this verse emphasizes that we are all children of God. If you are a believer, you are a child of God. And Pastor Joe talked a little bit last week about how God is our heavenly Father, right? So, using the analogy of Caden and Anton, we are children of God. So we should reflect what our heavenly Father likes and dislikes, what he thinks, how he behaves, right? If we're his child, we should reflect who he is, right? So you wonder, like, well, how do we do that? Right? So in my story about Caden and Anton, Caden has spent, he's almost eight, so say 7.5 years with Anton, spending a lot of time with him. We need to spend a lot of time with God too. And how do we do that? Going back to the 2 Timothy verse, we need to spend time with God in his word. His word is the way that we get to know God, right? So church, I think that's our cue here. You know, if you really look at yourself, you have to ask yourself, do I resemble my Heavenly Father? When people see me, do I look like him? So you're wondering probably, what does this have to do with reflecting? Okay, so let's go back and kind of recap what we've established so far. So the first thing that we've established is that the scripture is God-breathed, and through the scriptures, we get to know who God is. He instructs us, he directs us, he teaches us, rebukes us, trains us through it. And from the Joshua 1:8 verse, we ought to meditate or reflect on the word of God, and not just loosely reflect on it, but day and night, all day long, essentially, we should reflect on the word of God. So in James 1:25, we're going to see a little bit of how do we do this? How do we reflect? What does the scripture say about reflecting on the word of God? James 1:25 says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So if you're a note taker, this part's kind of for you. There are four takeaways just from this one verse, and we're going to go through each of them one at a time. The first takeaway is that if you want to reflect on the Word of God, certainly you have to read the Word of God, right? That kind of seems a little bit like a no-brainer. You have to read it if you want to reflect on it. But this verse actually gives us some clarity on what it means to read the Word of God. It says in the underlined part, to look intently at it, right? So now think back to a time when you went on a first date, OK? Okay, think back to a time when you went out with that guy or that girl and it was the first time. Now think back to how you listened to that person as you sat across from them from the dinner table or wherever you went. And I would probably bet that all of you were hanging on that person's last word because you really wanted to get to know them. You wanted to learn about what do they like to do? Maybe we'll do it next time. What are they interested in? Maybe I'm interested in, I could show interest and talk about the same subject with this person. So you were intently listening to what the person had to say. Now transfer those skills that you use when you were dating to reading the scriptures. This verse says you need to look intently at the Word of God. So that doesn't mean just opening up your Bible or your app, right, and just kind of reading through it quickly. That's not quite reading, and actually we tell that to our students. That doesn't count as reading, right? Reading means you're reading it for understanding. You're reading it intently with a purpose, right? For us reading the Bible, you're reading it to get to know God. You're not just reading it to say, okay, check mark. I've done my duty as a Christian for today. I have read the Word of God. You want to look into it. Understand what God is trying to say about himself, about you, about the world around us. There's this intention. There's this purpose behind your reading. So that's the first takeaway. You want to definitely read it. The second takeaway is where it says continue in it. What does it mean to continue in the Word? Well, to continue in something means you're doing it over and over and over again, right? So this idea of reading it and then continuing in it lends itself to this idea for our topic today, reflecting in the Word of God. When you do it, when you think about it over and over in the course of a day or in a course of a couple of days, you're continuing in allowing the Word rest in your heart and on your mind. You're giving it time to minister to you, to speak to you individually about life circumstances that you may have or a situation that's happening at work or at school. So it gives this idea of continuing in it. Now, let's pull this out and use an analogy to kind of hone in on what this means. So some of you know, and you've talked to Anton about food, he'll tell you his favorite Asian buffet is, anybody know? Feast, right? Feast, right? So there is an Asian buffet in Renton called Feast. It's really large. It's really large. Lots of really delicious food, and there's so many options to choose from. So pretend we're going to take a field trip. We're going to go to Feast, okay? All of us are going to go to Feast. But these are the instructions. Okay, when you go in, go past the hostess and make a tour around the facility, all right? Look at the noodle bar. They have like a noodle bar that gives you different options. And then you're going to look at the dim sum bar. There's like five options to choose from. After that, you're going to look at the hot food items. What kind of hot foods do they have? Then there's like an American food item, French fries, pizza, things like that. Then there's a soup bar where you could choose different kinds of soup. Next to that is a carving station. Next to that is a Mongolian grill where you can choose. So you get the idea. There's a lot of options. Not to mention the sushi area, which is phenomenal. Okay, sushi. And then there's like the regular standard cold salad, lettuce, tomatoes, mushrooms, things like that. Okay, so you kind of have this in your mind, right? So the instruction is walk through, take a look around, smell it, take it all in. Okay, take it all in. Everybody now sit down, but you can't eat. Now you can't eat. Okay, you've enjoyed it, haven't you? Didn't you enjoy the food? You smelled it, you looked at it, it looked beautiful. They do such a nice arrangement there. And it smells so delicious, but now you can't eat the food. Would you feel satisfied? I'm hoping that most of you, unless you're fasting, would say, that does not satisfy me. Maybe if you're fasting, you'd say, that was enough. I'm good. I'm good now. Okay. But if you're not fasting, you would probably feel a bit disappointed in what you experience if you didn't actually get the chance to taste the food, right? So when we read the scriptures and read it quickly, just take a look around, see what it says, and then close up that book, that's like us walking around the perimeter of a buffet, taking in the aromas, but not really tasting the goodness tasting the goodness of the Lord, really fellowshipping with him in the Word of God, right? I hope that you would not be satisfied with a quick read-through of the Scriptures. This verb, continue in, also gives you the idea of a possible option to continue would be to journal, right? So maybe you like journaling, maybe you don't. Back to my survey. So one of the questions on my survey was, do you spend time reflecting on what you've read? And I was pretty encouraged. The majority of the people who took the survey, that's the blue, said yes. 55% said yes. I spend time reflecting. I followed that question up with, do you keep a journal as a part of your reflection? And you'll see a pretty large number. The red is the no. Okay, so yes, people reflect, but no, people don't really journal. They do other methods for reflection. Okay, so 60, almost 4% said, yeah, I don't really like to journal. I don't keep a journal. So I asked, one of my questions was, well, do you actually even enjoy journaling? And you'll see on that next slide, 60.4% said, no, I hate it. I hate journaling. So I feel like I have a hard sell today because I'm going to try to lean you towards journaling by the end of this message, okay? My next question was, well, tell me why you don't like to journal. So that top bar, if you can't see it, it says, I don't like to journal because it's too time-consuming. Time-consuming. That was 60, almost 5% of my participants said, I don't like it because it takes too long, right? So, and you could see some of the other options I just threw out there, right? But I suspected when I created this question that most people would choose, it's too time-consuming, and that's why I don't like to do it. So this proved my theory, right? Also going back to Joshua 1:8, meditate on it day and night. Do you have time? Do you have time to meditate on the Word of God? If you said journaling is too time-consuming, your answer probably is, I don't know. I can read it quickly, but I don't think I have time to invest in doing something after I read. So I mentioned that in my 20s, I used to journal, and you probably have gathered through the course of this message that I don't do it as much anymore. It's actually hard for me to find time journaling. But there's nothing more convicting than Pastor Joe asking you to teach on a subject that you actually don't do, right? That you actually don't do. So God did some convicting on me first, right? I had to really think about, like, what can I tell them that I do that I don't want to do? You know what I mean? So in the last 30 days, actually it's been more than 30 days since he's asked me, at first, I was trying to think, well, what kind of angle does God want me to talk about this? This is kind of a big topic. And then God was convicting me about journaling. So what did I have to do? I had to challenge myself. And I remembered that there is a TED Talk called Try Something New for 30 Days. And so I actually use this video when I teach my students. And I watched it as I was going to use it this quarter for my students. I watched it again. And I said to myself, I think maybe God wants me to try journaling again for at least 30 days. Actually, it's been more than 30 days now. In this TED Talk by Matt Cutts, who's a Google engineer, it's a very short TED Talk, but he talks about how if you really want to do something, you will. That if you put your mind to it, you will. He actually talks about how he's always wanted to write a novel. And so he did it for 30 days. He wrote like so many words a day. He calculated how many words would fit into a novel and how many he has to write every single day. And he did it. He said it's not a very good novel, but he did it, okay? So he also says that if you do something and you do it for 30 days straight, you are very likely to develop a habit, a good habit, or a bad habit, depending on how you look at it, right? So God challenged me to develop a good habit of going back to journaling. You know, so I started a blog again. I used to have a blog, and I was able to find my old blog and import it into this new blog, so I have a little bit more continuity. But I started journaling, and I have to say it's been really good. And you're probably thinking, like, of course I'm going to say it was really good, right? Let me tell you how it's been really good. Sometimes I'll read something in the Word, and I wonder, like, why would God tell me this? Like, it's not relevant to me right now, but I feel like this is what God is telling me today. And then a couple days later, something happens at work, and I'm like, ah, that's why God told me that a couple days ago, right? So it's been really great. And so I would really challenge all of us here to maybe pick one of the four disciplines that we've been studying this past month. And maybe find something and commit to doing it for 30 days, whether it's, well, we've been fasting already, so maybe that one you could say, okay, I've done that. Maybe it's giving or praying or reflecting through journaling. But if you're not convinced through my story, I do have some benefits to share with you. And they're not, you know, some of it may seem like it's obvious, but I'll tell you that when I went to New Jersey over the summer, we went for vacation. We spent about 5 weeks there, and we lived in my parents' house. My parents were like, well, since you're here, why don't you clean up some of the stuff in your room? You still have a lot of stuff here. So I went in my room, opened the closet, and I had like tons of journals in my closet. So I started getting distracted from my cleaning task, and I started just reading my journals. And I will say that one of the best things about my journaling from my younger days is that it is a record of God's faithfulness. I read through some really interesting things that I wrote about. And the best part is, so I'm in my 40s now. The things that happened in my 20s and even earlier, I've kind of forgotten a lot of those things, right? The little details. Certainly I remembered God's faithfulness through very big situations, right? But all of the daily occurrences of God's faithfulness, I've totally forgotten about. So as I was reading, I was like, huh, I don't remember. I barely remember that this even happened in my life. Right? So it was a great way for me to look back and see how God is faithful since I became a Christian. Right? It was really encouraging for me. So that's one real great benefit of journaling. The other one was, and so I will admit that it was a little bit comical for me to read what I had written more than 25 years ago. The things you think are important, the things you think are so big and happening to you, you read it, you know, later on in life and you realize they were really small. Right, so it was comical, but it was really good for helping me see that sanctification is a process. So when I first became a believer, the things that I thought about God, the things that I thought about myself, my relationship with the body, how it all worked together, they have changed, thankfully. They have changed so much since when I became a Christian in college. So it's a reminder that sanctification is a process. The third benefit is that it really does force you to take a little bit of time and to spend time with God, to rest in his presence. And it doesn't mean you have to spend like an hour doing it. You know, I've been doing it for maybe 40 days now, and I probably spend at the beginning, it felt like an eternity. Like I would spend 15 minutes and it felt like an hour, right? But as I've been doing it, It's been becoming more enjoyable for me. I find that I spend more time now than I did at the beginning, and time just seems to go by. You know, it's not so laborious, like, oh, I have to sit at the computer or write in my journal. It's actually getting easier, and I want to spend more time journaling and reflecting. So it does get easier, and you find that you actually enjoy the time with the Lord more as time goes on. So back to our takeaways. So takeaway number three, if we go back to verse 25, it says, don't forget. Don't forget. So a lot of people told me before I had Caden that there's this thing called mommy brain. And that means that you just kind of forget a lot of things after you have kids. So unfortunately, mommy brain is not like something that happens when your kids are babies, because I'm still a mom, right? And so this has been a kind of a continual battle for me. I find that I need to write down more things if I want to remember it. If I have to go to Costco and I have six things I have to pick up, I have to write it down on a list. I use my phone to keep up a list, but I have to write it down because every time that I haven't written it down, I've forgotten like one thing. And it's so irritating to forget that one thing, right? So if I have to write everything down when I have to go shopping, which is nothing super duper important, when I spend time in the Word, shouldn't I write it down, the things that God is teaching me, the things that God is trying to show me? I think the answer to that question is yes. I probably should write it down because it's important. It's much more important than a shopping list. And our next takeaway, that leads us to our next takeaway. I'm going to wrap up soon, right? So I have four takeaways. We're approaching the fourth one. So at this moment, I'd like to invite the worship team up. And we're going to close with some musical worship. There will be intercessors in the back also. They will be carrying or wearing glow sticks, and so they could be identified easily. If you have something that you'd like to pray for, maybe God is prompting you to actually take on a challenge for the next 30 days. Maybe it's you want to, you know, start a new devotional so that you could spend time with the Lord. Maybe you want to start a blog. Whatever it may be, oh, I need that. Whatever it may be, I would challenge you to see, what can you do for 30 days? So the reason why we're talking about reading the scriptures, reflecting on it, and remembering it is all for the purpose of doing it. In James 1, 22 to 24, which are the verses that actually lead up to our main verse that we've been looking at, it repeatedly says, do what it says. Don't just read it or listen to it. Do what it says. Verse 25 also says, you got to do it. So why do we do this? Why do we come to church to hear the word? Why do we read the word? It's all for the purpose of being able to reflect Christ, resembling God, to the world around us. That's the purpose, right? So in Snow White, I haven't watched it in a long time, but in Snow White, there is an evil queen. And the queen looks at the mirror often. And the queen says to the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest in all the land, or something like that, right? So I would say, I would challenge you, when you walk in front of a mirror in the next week or even today, I would challenge you to look in the mirror and ask yourself this, mirror, mirror on the wall, do you see Christ in me at all? Because hopefully your answer is yes. Hopefully you can see Christ in you, okay? So let's close our time in prayer as the worship team leads us in worship. God, we thank you so much for the word of God. We thank you that it is how we can hear from you, how we can learn more about you, God. We thank you that we can feel close to you as we read the word. And Lord, we pray that as we finish up this series on growing deeper through disciplines, we really pray, God, that you would help us to be closer to you. God, we want to grow. We don't want to be lukewarm in our faith. We don't want to be stagnant in our walk. We want to be moving and growing closer to who you are, God. We want to know you more. And so, God, we pray that you would help us to contemplate the idea of journaling. And if it's not journaling, something else, something tangible that would help us to reflect more about who we are, who you are, God, most importantly. And so we lift up this time and the things that we've heard today, and we just pray that you would be blessed here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.